Good morning, Masechet Shabbat Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. We're starting at the bottom of Kuf Mem Bet Amud Bet. So we're in the middle of the sugya. Well, not really the middle of the sugya, but the middle of a whole malach here. We had Rav and Abaya. Rav Yosef said these young guys, they thought they were very clever. They had all these kunti of how to get around. Shurmi and both of them said that it wasn't even necessary. Right, so Abaya said that there was nothing wrong with picking up these sheaves because they could rely on them. And Rabbi said if he was an important guy, he would have picked up this meat without the knife. Why? Because chazi li l'umtza. So we went up to yesterday. What's umtza? Rashi said chazi l'umtza l'ochlo chai b'shabbat, to eat it raw on Shabbos. Sheyesh b'nei adam she'da'atan yafa. Normal people. It's called umtza. It's talking about the steak tartar. So now, the Gemara says on that. Why did Rabbi say that the meat, you could eat it and it was okay? Taima de chazi leil umtza. Because it was suitable to be eaten as raw meat. So it says, ha lo chazi umtza. If it wasn't, chazi not. Look at Rashi. V'afagav de chazu. This is very important now. Because it's like this. V'afagav. The chazu l'shunra. Even though this meat you could have thrown to the cat. Remember? Shunra, right? Achle gadya, right? Shunra damiran. Muchan la'adam. Lo have muchan l'klam. Important klalavia. Comes along, the Gemara and says, why was it relevant that he could eat the umtza? Because it was ra'ui for a person. And the fact that it's ra'ui to an animal doesn't help. Okay? So it says, muchan la'adam. Lo have muchan leklavim. It was Erev Shabbos. When this meat was around, it was suitable to be eaten as a human being. You weren't planning on throwing it to an animal. So therefore, it was booked as far as animals are concerned. Right? So now the Gemara asks a question. Are we trying to say now, Lemaimra de Rava ke Rabbi Yehuda sphirele? Does Rava hold like Rabbi Yehuda? What do you mean like Rabbi Yehuda? Right? Rashi Zavi like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Masech. Right? Okay, we'll see in a sec what it means. Right, didn't Rava say to his Shamas, right, Tavuli bar avaza, go and roast me this bird, or whatever it was, or Yontif, as she says, yeah. Right, Vishadi me'eya l'shunra, and throw its innards after you've cleaned out the bird, the avaz, yeah, what's avaz, a goose, I think, or a duck, I'm not sure what these birds are, I get confused, whatever, one of those birds, right, throw it to the shunra, to the cat. So good Rashi, Alma, metaltel lehu mishum shunra. Seems over here, how come that Rava and Rabbi Yehuda agree with each other? Because it appears to me on the contrary that Rava is telling his shamas, throw this to the cat. Meaning what? Metaltel lehu mishum shunra. You can carry, it's not muktza, because it's good for the cat. Va'af agav, ta'idne lo chazidana, but yet now it's not good for a person. The love orich aru lemecha b'yom tov, because it's not mechubat to go and eat the intestines and all these things of the animals on yom tov. Not mechubat. Umihu mietbol la adam havu kan. But bottom line is, yesterday of yom tov, when that bird was there, who was going to eat the bird? He wasn't giving that bird to an animal. He was giving a bird, keeping it for himself. So yesterday the bird was good for an animal, for human consumption. Now he's saying throw the innards to the dogs, to the cats. So we're seeing over here that as far as Rav is concerned, the fact that yesterday it was good because Erev Yom Tov, it's such an important day, you could eat cheaper meat, whatever, you would have eaten it. Today it's not mechubah, so you're going to give it to the cat. There doesn't seem to be a connect. Never had to be mechubah, ra'u to the animal Erev Yom Tov to not make it muktzah today. Even if it was ra'u to the human beings yesterday, and today you give it to animals, it's still not muktzah. Where we wanted to say there that the umtzah, why was the umtzah okay? Because you would eat it. Right? If it wasn't ra'u l'umtza, you wouldn't eat it. In other words, if it was only good for an animal, it wouldn't be good. We're rather saying, even though it's good for an animal now, it is good. You with me? Am I explaining myself properly here? Right? Yes, everybody? Okay, well, those faces that I can see, I can't answer those to them. Okay. So he says, look at the Kutta Rashi down the bottom here. He says like this. V'shalim ha'lashunra. Shlech b'nei ma'ayim l'chatul, sent to the cat with Rabbi Yehuda. Asu letaltelo uleteto lechatu. Rabbi said, you can't give it to the cat. Why? Demi etmol muchan laadam hayav lo leklavim. Because yesterday this was good for consumption for the humans, not for dogs. Dekama im loyata neveilim erev Shabbat. Asu neveile erev Shabbos. Animals would have eaten. But a live animal erev Shabbos was good for humans, not for animals. Therefore, now on Yontif, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's mukta, right? Where it seems that Rabbi said it's not mukta. So how can we say that the whole reason Rabbi said it was mutar was because of umtza, which implied if it wasn't umtza, it would be mukta. And that holds like Rabbi Yehuda. We see that Rabbi immediately tells us that you can give the intestines to the cats, and it's not mukta. So there's a stira over here. Right? So Gemara says that. It says hatam there in the case of here with the cat. Kevan de masrach date ilavei mi etmo. Since Rashi says in the Maya, these intestines, if you left them, they'd stink. Right? E matnele ad ut. If you wait till after Shabbos, in other words, you said that mukta, you couldn't touch them. They would smell. Therefore, it says if already date ale lushun, you already intended to give these things to the cats. When Ashmashle muchane behem haben. Therefore, already by Ashmashot, he knew that if as soon as he eats this on Yontif, it's not mechubah to eat these intestines and these terrible things on Yontif and give them to the cat. Therefore, it was muchan and it wasn't mukta. It's a little bit different to the shunra. The shunra only now he decides, but with this avaz, he already decided, already knew in advance that he wouldn't be keeping it till after Shabbat, it would stink. And what's Zachlan Mustamer? It makes no sense. Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda Svirlei. The Gemara says, well, wait a second, it does make sense that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So, moment we said, but does Rabbi hold like Rabbi Yehuda? But it doesn't make sense. Then we explain, no, there couldn't necessarily be a stira, because we could say that Rabbi normally holds like Rabbi Yehuda, just in this particular case, because it would have smelt. He said that you can throw it away, you can give it to the animals. And the Gemara says, you know what, we can prove that Rabbi does normally hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda Shirei, the Darish Rabbi, Rabbi taught as follows, Gemara Masechet Beitza there. Isha lo tikanes lebeit ha'atzim lito mehen od. A woman shouldn't go into the storeroom where they got all the wood, right? Lito mehen od. That says od here is like some piece of wood, I suppose, or it is a furug or whatever it is. Says the stam eitzim lasaka nitnu v'lo letiltul kli. Says most wood that's stored over there, what's the wood for? The wood there is to be burnt. It's for fuel. And therefore it's muktzah Yom Tov for Shabbos. V'od she nishbar asu lasiko b'Yom Tov. And if there was, so even on Yontif now, you can make a fire. You can make a fire with a whole piece. But Od She Nishbar, look at Rashi that broke on Yontif, right? That's even us to take as a fire. Why? Lefisha Mesikim Bekalim, Ve'e Mesikim Beshivre Kalim. Shma Mina. Rav is pretty machmir over here. He says that you can only use proper Rashi Veshivre Kalim, Shnishbar Ayom, Dahavulahu Nolad. Right, he says a big piece of wood which you would have used for fire, that's fine. But if it broke in little pieces, the little pieces weren't around here of Yontif. If on Yontif it's all nolad, if they nolad, they become mukta. And therefore, you can't use the Rav taught the halacha. He shall not address about 18 to 10. Ve'od shenishbar asul yasek of Yomtov. Fishim kibbe kalim emeskim shivere kalim. That's Rava. Shma mina. That Rava holds. He's very machbir here on the mukta like Rabbi Yehuda. And I think what's going at play here is we know there's a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Bichlal about mukta. Remember, we said Rabbi Shimon said there isn't even mukta. Now we've got a lot of exceptions to that, but as a rule, right? Rabbi Shimon is much more maker mukta than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is much more machmir. So the Gemara is saying over here that Rabbi holds up Rabbi Yehuda. Then we can see his machmir on even wood which was set aside. If parts of it broke off, you couldn't use the broken parts, even though the wood you could have used because of nolad. He's more machmir than Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, we conclude Rabbi holds up Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara goes into a new Mishnah. We will finish the parak as well. Beit Shem Omrim Ma'avir. We're talking now about on Shabbos, right? About cleaning the table. Now, things that we're not always really aware of, but crumbs, for example, and if you've eaten nuts, or whatever, and the peels of the nuts, or if you've peeled an orange and the orange peels, whatever, these things could be mukta, right? Because they weren't there before. So what do you do with them? The Gemara said, like this, Beit Shama Omrim Ma'avirin. You can move them. Look at Rashi, Beyadayim Alashukhan. You can actually pick them up and take them off with your hands. So it seems like Beit Shama here is, right? Ma'alashukhan. Ma'avirin Ma'alashukhan. Atzamot Ve'klipin. Bones. Rashi says, they're kashin, hard ones. She'enan ruin the kiddie, which are not food for dogs. If it's like marrow and stuff, you give it to your dog. It's fine. Even bones, I suppose, some soft bones dogs eat, even hard bones, some dogs eat. If it's ra'ui lekele, then it's not mukta. But we're talking about bones here which are not ra'ui, and therefore they have to be mukta. The klipin, and klipin over here, right, look at Rashi Shilo Gozim, delayt lehulu beit shama mukta. And klipin, like nutshells and stuff. Because what does Rashi say? Because beit shama doesn't have mukta. That sounds like Rabbi Shimon, right? That sounds like beit shama is mekil. Right, ube hilal omrim, ube hilal says, Mesalek et ha-tavla Kula umenara. So a tabla here could be like a plate, could be like a big tray, could be the tablecloth, right? So Rashi Beit Shammai said, look at Rashi, sheyeshra kli aleha, because it's got a, that's kli, it's not mukta. Avaloye taltel aklipim biyadayim k'Rabbi Yehuda. And don't move the klipim. Why? Because we hold like Rabbi Yehuda that there is mukta. That's what Beit Hillel says. So Beit Shammai is the mekil, Beit Hillel is the machmir. Now that should set off a red light to everybody, right? He says over here, kula menara, and then he says, ma'avirin, says Beit Hillel, me'ala shulchan, the Bach changes that to me'ala shulchan, pirurin pachot mi kazayit, if they're less than a kazayit, there's no problem with bread that's less than a kazayit, you have to worry about bread that's less than a kazayit, you should throw away, shouldn't throw away in a horrible way, you should just still do it with a bit of kavod, but you can't throw it away, says here, pachot mi kazayit, v'kol shekain, says Rashi, kazayit, k'varish tam mishahe ma'achal behema, and how much more so, if crumbs are more than a kazayit, because you can feed two animals, they've got status. V'se'ar shel afunin, right, sharvitin shel kitniot, like the pouches of the legumes, like you got like the beans, you know, like if you open up those beans, like what they're called, like green beans, you know, you open them up and they've got like all the peas inside them, whatever, like the pods. Shakitniot gadel behem, etc. Those things you can as well. V'se'ar dashim, mibnei shehu ma'achal, why? Because they're all food for animals. Now, so we've got over here, Beit Shammai Hillel, Beit Shammai being the Mekil, Beit Shammai being the Machmir. Okay, remember that. So now the Mishnah carries on with another halacha. Svog, im yesh lo or beit achizeh, if it's got some sort of leather handle, mekantro, you can use it. Now the Svog that Gemara is speaking about over here, the Mishnah is speaking about over here, right, if you look at Rashi there, or beit achiza shel or, a leather handle shach that you hold the svog with, right? Then you can mekan chimbo, what the tabla, the table. Ein mekvat, however, if it hasn't got a lavim, if it hasn't got a leather handle, ein mekan chimbo k'rashi, keshe ochzo v'nischat ben sportav, because you've got a problem with schita. If it hasn't got a handle to hold the sponge, then you can actually hold the sponge by the sponge and you could end up squeezing out the water and be chai for schita. Bankach or Bankach says the Mishnah Nital b'Shabbat v'Enu Mekabel Tumah. It's not Muktzah. You can't move it, right? And it's Nital b'Shabbat and it isn't Mekabel Tumah. In other words, what does it mean? Right? V'Enu Mekabel Tumah. It's not really concrete. Kli says Rashi. V'Enu lo kli eitz v'lo beger v'lo sak v'lo matefet. It's none of those kalim which would normally be Mekabel Tumah like we saw. Now, just to point out, the sfog that Gemara is speaking about, which is speaking about over here, is not our sfog. Our sfog today, most of what we use is synthetic stuff. Talking here about like sea-grown sfog, right? Like sponge that grows in the sea, right? Like proper natural sponge. Today, you've got all these synthetic types of sponges. We don't necessarily even absorb water. You know, like you've got all these Shabbos cleaning utensils, etc., which are less of a problem. Okay. So now, Gemara, I'm Rav Nachman. Anu ein lanu ele Beit Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda, u'behilal k'Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Nachman says straight away, so what's going on over here? Here you're telling that Beit Shammai says that there's no mukta, and Beit Hillel is like Rabbi Yehuda and there's mukta. He says, we don't know that. We know it the other way around, and therefore he says, ein lanu lo ele k'Rabbi Shimon, look at Rashi there. Anu ein lanu, ein anu somchina mishnatainu k'mot shehi shnuya. We don't rely on this, because there's a problem with this Mishnah. Ele mukhlefet shitata. Ubehidal Krabi Huda. It's the other way around. Mukhishata and it's Beit Shammai that's like Rabbi Yehuda and not Behidal. In other words, he says, read the Mishnah around. Say Behidal Omri Ma'avirin, right? Ubeit Shammai Omri Masalik Ratavla. Change the shit around completely. Doesn't make any sense over here. That thing. Look at the Tosfot over here. Anu Einanu Ede Beit Shammai Kerabi Yehuda. It says, Masechet Eduyot. Right, that's where there's all the lists there of where Hillel and Beit Shammai, who Machmir, who's Mekil. We count the ones there where Beit Shammai is more Mekil. He says, Lo mitnia bahare kule Beit Shammai. This is not listed as one of those examples of the chumras of Hillel and the kulas of Beit Shammai. Doesn't make any sense. Vahainu k'Rav Nachman, that's what Rav Nachman says. Vahad lo mighty siyata mihata mishum demai ume dahamaha. He says, and why didn't Rav Nachman bring the makor from that Gemara there in Eduyot? Right, and say why from Eliud it wasn't listed. See, I suppose it's because this over here, Rav Nachman brought over here, this Gemara speaking about, we have the thinkers in Beitza, this Gemara here. The Gemara here is, we're sitting in Beitza, Daf Bet. Right, so he says it makes a difference. Why is this one better than that one? He's got good Makorot for whatever he's saying. But bottom line is, this isn't the chumrah of Behilah and the Kula Beit Shammai. Okay, now, the Gemara carries on. Ma'avirim me'al p'nei ha'shulchan pirurim. Right, so he wants to say, Messiah Rabbi Yochanan, this Mishnah over here, which says that you can pick up these crumbs, right, me'al ha'shulchan, right, so that helps Rabbi Yochanan, da'am Rabbi Yochanan, pirurim cha'em b'em kazayit asu le'abdan b'yad. So because even pirurim that are less, is machmir over here, that are less than a kazayit, You shouldn't throw them away, but you shouldn't ruin them by your hands, right? So look what he says over here. Ashut Abdu Miyad, Miriktani Ma'avirin Biyadayim, Velo Zarik Leu. He says, Ma'avirin, take them hand by hand and treat them with kavod. Don't just tizrokotam, don't throw them away. In other words, treat them, even though you're gonna throw them away, still throw them away, maybe put them in a packet or whatever, but not just throw them away like or feed them to the birds. That's a brother problem though, but people do that. Take shut that one. Okay, now the Gemara carries on. Se'ar shel afunin. Now we spoke about these patches of pea pods and bean pods and all these sorts of things. Who's the tana mani? Who's the tana of the Mishnah? So Moshe Rabbi Shimoni. Moshe Rabbi Shimon, why do they like their mukta? Because Rabbi Shimon says there's no mukta. Look at Rashi over here. Tira Bihuda, mi et mo lav le behaim kaimi, shre ha ochra yai mahen, ba yom lo keach mahen. He says, if it was Rabbi Yehuda, what was Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says, yesterday, when you had, let's say, the peas in the pod, so the pod was, it had the peas in there, which was your food. It wasn't animal fodder. And now you've suddenly taken the peas out and you've created animal fodder. So now that's become mukta, contra Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, you haven't got that kind of, that problem. Right, it was an Amos Sefer. The Sefer says, Sfog, im yesh lo barachiz, mekanchim bo, v'im lav em mekanchim bo. If it's got a handle, you can use it, you can't use it. So Gemara says, now that really sounds like Atan Rabbi Yehuda. You want to say that the Mishnah here is going to Rabbi Shimon from the case of Ma'avirin of the pods, but the Sefer speaks about the svog. That sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Davar Sheemir Kaveh Nasul, because Rabbi Yehuda is saying, yeah, what was our problem in the Mishnah? That you can't use the sponge because you might come to squeeze it, but now you didn't want to squeeze it. Yeah, we still say that even though you didn't want to do it, you never had kavona. It was a Davar Sheemir Kaveh. We're still saying it's Asur. That sounds now like Rabbi Yehuda says that Davar Sheemir Kaveh is Asur. So at the moment we said a second ago that the Mishnah was Rabbi Shimon because he said there's no Mukta. And therefore you could use these pods. But now the safer sounds suddenly like Rabbi Yehuda. He says Davar Sheemir Kaveh is Asur. So we've got a standard answer over here. He says, Baha, I feel Rabbi Shimon more. He says, no, Rabbi Shimon, even Rabbi Shimon would agree with that. That's not a proof at all about Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree. What? Abayev Arava. Remember, I said this, we saw before, it's mentioned about five or six times. How many times? Yeah, Le'el, Ayin Hay, Kuf Gimel, Kuf Yud Aleph, Kuf Yud Zayin, Kuf Kaf, Kuf Lamed Gimel. Right? In Amasechta, six times. It's mentioned in Amasechta, right? That both Rava and Abaya both say, Amitravayu, Moder Rabbi Shimon, B'psik Reisha, V'lo Yamut. That's not a Davar Sheemir Kaveh, it's a P'sik Reisha. In other words, what he's saying over here is, it's impossible to pick up that sponge with a full of water and not squeeze water out. We know that for a fact, right? Anybody ever picked up a full sponge? You can't not squeeze the water out. If it's got a little bit of water in, maybe. But as soon as it's got quite a bit of water, you pick it up, start squeezing out. Right? The Gemara says now, Hani Garina and Halocha Via. These are the pips of a Tamrei Armaita. And we say there are two types of Tamarima Via, of pomegranates. There's a pomegranate Armaita, right? And there's a pomegranate...
Dates.
Sorry. When I say pomegranate, I made that mistake quite a lot. So you know when I meant pomegranate, when I say pomegranate, I meant date, right? Right, there's these tamarim over here. These are dates of Armaita, and then you'll see that they're also dates of Parsiata. Now, maybe that's Parsiata means Persian, maybe. And that's translated in English. But it says the Aramaic and the Persian. Maybe you got from Armenia and from Persia. Maybe they're different types. Is it translated like that, by the way? Steve's nodding yes. Okay. Right, so it says that Tamarim Ra'imem, the Armayata, the Armenian ones, are bad ones, says Rashi. U'machlina Tamarim Atzman Lebehemen. You even give the date itself to the animal. Hilchach Agav Imayhu Lebehemen Nami Kaimi. So therefore, because you can feed it to the animal, so he says, Hanu Garina de Tamri, the pips of these Armaita, Sharu, you can carry them. Why? Because Hoyal V'chazin Agav Iman, says the Gemara, because since you're going to feed the whole date to the animal, so the whole date includes the pip as well. So therefore, the pip is in mukta because these dates were always set aside to be fed to animals. It's animal food. So therefore, it's not mukta on Shabbos, and the pip's part of it. However, Ude Parsiata, but the Persian ones are Asur. Now, if you go to Likutei Rashi, look down at the bottom here. He says there, Ude Parsiata. There's a Gemara over here from earlier in Amasechta of Kaftet. It says, Tamarim Tovim umit bashtim yafen, they get dropped very nicely. V'chol ochel shlahem nifrash me'al garinahen. The whole date separates very nicely. We discussed that. Remember discussing, we learned it previously. The whole date separates very nicely from their pip. Right? V'ena garinin re'uyin lechol. And you can't eat the pip. So in other words, the food separates very nicely, the meat of the date, of the pip. The pip you can't eat. So therefore, the pips on their own are mukta. The pips of the armiata weren't mukta because the whole date was for an animal. And they eat the pips as well. But this was clearly, these Persian dates were for human consumption, and therefore they would be mukta. Right? So Shmuel metaltadehu agav rifta. Shmuel says, no problem. Put it on a piece of bread, and then you can carry it. Right? And why is that? Because Shmuel atame says a gemara. I'm a Shmuel. Or se adam kol tzorcha b'pad. You can use bread for anything. Bread is like the king. If you've got to do anything on Shabbos, anything that might be mukta, put it with a bit of bread on it, and you can carry it. We even saw like a dead body, right? We said a kar or a kikar or a bit of bread on it, you put on it, etc. Right? So we had Amar Sekuram Kultur Pat. Rashi says, Yah Mishtamesh Bo V'ein Kan Mishum Bizayon, and it's not a disgrace to the bread, Umemacheu Betavshil, right? And basically you will soften it with regards to the food. I don't know what he means over there. Right? Rabbi Metal Tadehu Agav L'Kanadamaya. So Rava would carry these pips over here. This is the lekan de mai, Rashi the sefil shel mai, like a jug. Rav Huna bread, Rav Yeshua avid lehu kegerev shirui. It's a bit more complicated. We saw gerev shirui was like some sort of a clay pot or clay spade, which would pick up like all animal dung and stuff like that, right? Even human dung, whatever, right? And that would be mutar machmat maus, because it was disgusting to leave it around. So you could move it away. So he says over here, Gemara says that Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, would do make it like turn into like a graf shiri. Look at Rashi. So Tovran lefanav kashe ochel tamarim ad sheni masot benav. He'd eat all the dates and spit out the pips, pip, 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 pip. So eventually it'd become a disgusting mound there of pips. V'notinotam mipanav kagev shiri v'noten lebehem. Then he'd pick it up and listen, this is disgusting for me, it's like gev shiri. Then I can go and give it to the animal and feed it to the animals. The Gemara asks a question over here. Right? Amar Rav Ashi la'meimar v'chi osin gerv shiri l'chadchila. He says, we know that gerv shiri, if you've got like some sort of poo there or disgusting stuff, so it happened, it was there, you can move it. But can you create something like that on Shabbos and say, I'm going to make into a disgusting mound over here and then I'll be able to move it? That seems to be a bit of a problem over here, right? So Rav Shashi and Zayuk, the question doesn't seem to be a good answer, but it seems to be a rhetorical question, if you ask me. If you look over here, there's a Likutei Rashi down the bottom. He says, Nehi dechi'ite kaman misalkine. While it's there, we understand you can take it away. Aval atuye kaman lemezal ana legabe ki hechid denim asalanu v'salke mishari. Can you actually go and create these things? Is that mutar? V'chi mutar ligrom she'adavar ma'uslo kadesh yotzenu. A couple of expressions like that. Seems like the Gemara wasn't too excited about that, right? Rav Sheshet Zarek Lu Belishne. Rav Sheshet, he would throw it. Look at Rashi. Zarek Lu Belishne. Look at Rashi. El Ever Ashulchan. He'd throw it over. He'd just like throw them over the table. He didn't throw them off the table, right? Rav Papa Zarek Lehu Achore Hamita. Rav Papa would sit on the couch and he'd throw them behind him over the couch, at the back of the couch, right? Amru Alav Rabbi Zachariah Ben Av Kulam. Shayam machzir panav achrei amita v'zorkan. He would turn his face achrei amita. Rashi there shehu meisevale on the couch. Hang on, turn away and throw them over. Okay, much of the Gemara ended with a bit of humor over here, but we see that the Chavurah didn't take it too seriously, and nonetheless they ate the dates on Shabbos. Adran alach notel adam et beno. Adran alach notel adam et beno. Adran alach notel adam et beno. Okay.
You got
that was. Start the next parak, parak 22. Right, chavit. And so now we've seen a halacha very similar to this. We said chavit shenishbara metzina mena mazon shlosh seudot. So if you've got a barrel of wine that broke open, right, you can save from it enough wine for three seudas. And Rashi says, yeah, afilu bekelim harbe, even with lots of kelim, de'ilu bechad mana amrina b'chol kitvei HaKodesh. In Perek, we saw that in Perek Kol Kitvei HaKodesh on Daf Kuf Kaf, said that the kama debai matzil. So if you're going to use one kli, then you weren't limited to three meals. When we learned that, you're limited to three meals with lots of kelim. So we didn't want you to start carrying out the. Remember, we thought if we're going to let you use lots of kelim, you're going to start carrying in the bringing lots of kelim from Shtarabim. So if it's for three meals, you can as many kelim as you want. But as much as you want, you can save with one kli. That's what Rashi points out. Right? V'omer lachem, you can say to other people as well, bo'u v'itzilu lachem, come bring for you, save for you. Look, kol echad mazon gimel sud. Remember, we learned in the Gemara, just to refresh your memory, we learned there in the Gemara, we said that the guy was a chacham, it was whatever, he would say to him that he wants money for it, but then we said that it wouldn't be yira shamayim, because he wouldn't want to take money. Remember that whole sugya? Anybody remember that? Right? Yeah, you're all nodding, I can see everyone's nodding. No one's nodding. Why? Any of you, none of you remember that? Right? Now he says, Aviyah, ba'u v'tzilu lachem, uvachlo yispog. On condition, however, shelo yispog. Right? What do you mean? Shelo yasim sfog u'makom ayayin lachzor latifo b'kli, gzere shem yischot. You can't use that. You can clean up whatever you want, but you can't use sponge. Va'ein tzochatin rapay, right? Uvachlo yispog. That's the main thing. Rashi says, gzere shem yischot, right? And then, ein tzochatin rapayrot lotzim en mashkin, nal halochina. Not related. You can't squeeze fruit on Shabbos to get the juice out. Right? Very important halacha. Vim yetzu me'atzman asurin. And if the juice just like ran out, then it's asur as well. You can't use the juice. Right? Look at Rashi. Ezra Peirot, the Havalem of Farek. Because there's it's a tolada of disha, of dash. Right? And if the juice ran on its own, it's asur. Right? Gzer Hashem yiskot lechatchila. Right, so that's now important halacha. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im lo ochlin ayotza bayin muta." Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, if you have brought the fruit, let's say you got oranges at home now, right? You get two types of oranges. You get lots of oranges, but in Israel you can buy oranges. It says on the packet l'schita. They're special oranges which are used for squeezing. And then they're lesser juicy oranges which are used for eating. So if you bought the oranges which were made for eating, and then the juice ran out of it, says Rabbi Yehuda." Then you're allowed to eat it. You can drink it, it's muta. Vim le mashkin, if you bought oranges, especially for squeezing, let's say, hayotze min asur, then whatever comes out of this asur. Now, chalot vash, these are honeycomb, sheriskan me'er Shabbat, if you ground them every Shabbos, v'yatzu me'atzman asurin. And if the honey ran out of its own, right, and then honey, you sort of like crushed it, and then the honey came out, it would be asur, and Rabbi Eliezer says muta. Right, the Bach says not Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Elazar. Right, so we know that Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua and Rabbi Elazar ben Hukunus. This is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. Okay, according to the Rashi says Eliezer, but I think I saw in the Tosfot they also call him Elazar. And Rabbi Chananel also says Rabbi Elazar. Rashi uses a regular shita here of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that's the Mishnah. So Tane lo yispog b'yayin lo yipach b'shemen. We've got a brayta that says like this: lo yispog b'yayin. Right, and when it comes to wine, you can't grab it up in a sponge. But lo yitfach b'shemen. What does it mean, lo yitfach b'shemen? So Rashi says over here, yitfach machnis bo kapo, put your hand into the oil. Va'shemen yitbakbak, the shemen will like run onto your hand. U'mekancho b'sfat ha'kli, and then you put it into the tip of the vest, and you let it like roll off your hand into the kli. Va'asura mishom, why? Uvdin decho. That's the Yisur over here. We've got a new Yisur now. Uvdin dechol. It's not a tolada of a melocha. It's nothing. It's uvdin dechol. That's how you do things during the week. If you shouldn't do it, we can see a lot of examples over here now, which are related to uvdin dechol. Right? Shelo yaseh kederch shoseh bechol. Tell him I'm going to write it. Nitpazhu lo perot bechatzer. If your fruits have like gone all over the garden, Melaket aliyad aliyad vochel. You can take one at a time and eat it. But lo letochasal, don't get up into the basket. Lo letochakupel into the box. Shelo yasek derech shosei bechol. Same idea. Because like chol, I saw in the halacha this morning. I think the Rambam says it would depend. There's a bit of a machloket rishonim over here, but it would depend where the fruit spilt. So if it's all over your garden, one on that side of the garden, one on that side of the garden, it's fine. If it all fell in one place, then you can pick them all up. Not a problem. The problem here is imur making a mound. Right, that's what we're worried about. But otherwise. It's not a problem. The main issue here is of the bechol. Now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Ain soch nira peirot. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. So now remember, in the Mishnah we saw that Rabbi Yehuda said if it was la'ochel, if you had bought fruits and the purpose of the fruits were to eat them and the juices ran out, so then it would still be, it would be okay. So Rabbi Yehuda, Chachamim said no. Right, so the Gemara brings up, says like this. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Mode haya Rabbi Yehuda lechachamim bezeitim v'anavim. When it came to grapes and olives, so even Rabbi Yehuda agreed with Chachamim. That what? That even if you had bought these grapes and olives to eat, and not to make wine or to make olive oil, it still would be asur. Why? Because wine, grapes and olives, that's really, even if you bought them for eating, the primary purpose, most olives in the world are farmed to make oil. And probably most grapes in the world are farmed to make wine. The fact that we also eat them, I think if you look, you'll see it's a small proportion. Right, so he says, my time, he says, Kevan did a schita ninu. Because they're really there for schita, they're there for making juice. Yahiv date. Boy, Rashi, I think, actually says Yahiv date. He's quite happy about it. Is there a Rashi there that says that? The ruban l'schita kaime, says Rak. Rashi says, the kevan de ruban l'schita, says the majority of these fruits are there for are squeezing. Ki atre mashka, when the juice came out of it, Yahiv date le mahave nichele bach. He was quite happy about it because really even he knew that he wouldn't mind a bit of olive oil or some wine. That is Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Va'ula Amar Rav and Ula name of Rav. So there's a machloket Rav Shmuel via Ula and Rav Yehuda. Chalukah Rav Yehuda afilu bezeitim vanavim. He says no. When Rav Yehuda said if the food is there, fruit there for ochlim, it's okay. It was across the board, even with regards to grapes and olives. So Rav Yochanan Amar Chak Rav Yehuda. So look at this. Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, "Alachar Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peirot," with everything else, that if the fruits were there and you had them for eating and the juice came out, it's okay. Va'ein alachar Rabbi Yehuda b'zeitim v'anavim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, "The machloket ya clear machloket. Halach isak Rabbi Yehuda other stuff, but with zeitim and anavim we machmir." Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Modei Rabbi Yehuda lechachamim b'zeitim anavim. Umorim chachamim Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peirot. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, "But Rabbi Yochanan, he says no. He says we know that Rabbi Yehuda agreed with Chachamim with regard to Zaitim and Anavim, and we know more than that that Chachamim agreed with Rabbi Yehuda with regard to all the other payrot. So, really, what do we say? There's no machlokin whatsoever, because I agree with you about the pay about the Anavim and Zaitim. You agree with all the other payrot. So, therefore, we sort out the halacha. There's no machlokin. So, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Abba. He says, if that's the case, according to this over here of Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who says that they agreed each other, so but my plige, there was no machloket then. Now, it's a bit cynical here, but we don't like it, there's no machloket, right? We want machloket. When there's no machloket, we can't have a suggestion there's no machloket. So he says, Amar le lechit ishkach, go find, look carefully, you'll find it, you'll see. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he gave the answer. He says, Mistabra betutim verimonim pligi. So with regards to all the other fruits, Chachamim agreed with Rabbi Yehuda. With regards to Anavim and Zaitim, which are really the ones that are, as a rule, set aside for the juices, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Chachamim. Where is there a machloket still? Tutim v'rimonim. On berries and pomegranates. Right? Did I get that one right? Zaitim, right? Tutim v'rimonim. Rimonim are pomegranates, correct? Yes. Right? He says like this, Plika de Tanya, we got a brighter. Zeitim shemashach mehen shemen, va'anavim shemashach mehen yayin. So look at Rashi, what does it mean shemashach mehen? Rashi says, yeah, shemashach zav me'alehen, k'mo neharot ha'moshchin. Right, so if you've got, the brighter says, if you've got olives, that oil came out of them on their own, and grapes, that wine came out of them on their own, v'yichnisan bein ne'ochel bein ne'mashkin, right? But you actually you put it there whether you're going to use them for food or for drink. Hayotzei men asur. There, anything that comes out of them, irrespective of whether the purpose was for eating or for mashkin, asur. So you can't use the drink, the liquids come out of them. Tutim shemashach ben mayim. Verimonim shemashach ben yayin. Rashi explains here why rimonim are called, it's called wine, but why the pomegranate juice is called wine. Tutim and rimonim, that the juice come out of them on their own. V'ichnisan le'ochlin, if it was there to eat those fruits originally, hayotze mehen mutar. Then the juice is okay. However, if it was for lemashkin, either to drink or stam, or you had no particular desire of either way, you were quite indifferent. Hayotze mehen asur divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says in that case, it's asur, only if it was for mashke, right? Or for no reason, but for food, he said you could drink the juice.
V'chachamim omrim...
One second, David. V'chachamim omrim, bein le'ochlin, bein le'mashkin, whether you had set aside those tutim or rimonim for food or drink, makes no difference. Ayotzein mehen asur. So we see over here, Brighton, which says that. See a Brighton that says, with regards to all other fruits, everybody agrees. It's okay. With regards to Zaytim and Anavim, even Rabbi, everybody agrees that it's asur. Where's the machloket, specifically on tutim and rimonim, which you had set aside for food? So David's question is, can you use them after Shabbos? So firstly, the question is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda or like Chachamim? If the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, then you can even use them on Shabbos. Right? Your question is relevant if you say halacha like Rabbi Chachamim.
Yeah.
I would imagine that after Shabbos, b'chdei sheyaseh, maybe yes, because a lot of halachas are not done on Shabbos. If you wait off Shabbos, the time that it would have taken them to happen is yes. The gzeira,
I think that's it's a suffix, isn't it?
Why is it a suffix?
Yeah, you're probably right.
So now, like Rabbi said, Rabbi Yehuda stam asur. And what does Rabbi Yehuda think stam is asur? Remember, Rabbi Yehuda said over here that bain l'shtia v'bain l'stam, l'mashkin or l'stam. So what's the word? Rabbi Yehuda says that stam is asur. Look at Rashi over here. Rabbi Yehuda v'stam, the third, fourth, the bottom there towards the end of the narrow lines of Rashi. Shelo piresh l'ochev lo l'mashki havei. Hamashke azav ben asur. Why would he say that? V'atnan. We've got a Mishnah that says chalav aisha metame l'ratzo v'shlo l'ratzo. Chalav b'hem metame l'ratzo. Now what's going on over here? We know that milk is one of the dam yad shachat dam, right? Yad shachat dam. We've got the chet in the middle, and the chet is for chalev, for chalav, for milk. The question now is, what milk are we speaking about, right? So it's quite interesting. This Braita over here says, this Mishnah over here, it's a Mishnah in Masechet Machshirin, which you're talking there. Machshirin is what's Machshir things letuma. So we know that those are the Yad Shachat Dam, those are the eight liquids which are Machshir, prepare something. If it hasn't got wet, one of those eight liquids, it can't be Makabel Tuma. And one of them is Chalav. So Mishnah says, Chalav Aisha, a mother's milk, is metame, not metame, it's machshir l'tumah. I think Rashi actually says that. Metame, right? Rashi says machshir, right? Machshir l'tumah. L'ratzon u'shelo l'ratzon. What does it mean? Ben shesai mena l'ratzon, ben shelo l'ratzon, l'lo ratzon, she'achalav karui mashke, she'nemar v'tiftach et nod ha'chalav v'tishakeu. V'tishakeu. The pasuk in Shoftim called milk. It says open up the thing and feed the milk. A woman's milk is called liquid under any circumstances, whether it came out intentionally or just ran out, whatever the case was. However, animal's milk, right? However, chalav behema, ein metame l'ratzon, is only considered milk if you intentionally milked the animal. In other words, you wanted the milk to come out. If milk just ran out from the animal, it wouldn't be considered a machshir tumah, right? Look at Rashi. V'chalav behema, ein metame, elim kan yatzon. So, ein l'ratzon, look at Rashi there. Ve'i lo, it wasn't a ratzon, lo chashiv mashka. It's not considered mashka. V'im nagabo sheretz. In that case there, if something had been touched by a thing that the animal's milk had touched, einu makabel tuma. V'taymu mefarsh, we'll see that on why. Right? So Amar Rabbi Akiva, kalvachomeru. This is a kalvachomer. Rabbi Akiva doesn't like this. L'umach ala v'isha she'enu miyuchar ila ketanim. What's a mother's milk for? It's good only for her children. You don't see the father to go and get a glass of milk from his wife when she's breastfeeding. Right? Metame ratzon shel ratzon. And we see that milk is considered a proper fully fledged liquid. And metame. So chalav behemet shem yuchay b'nei klei b'nei gloim. Cow's milk. Animal's milk, which is good for animal, for kids and adults. Ein lo din she yitame bon ratzon b'nei shel ratzon. Shouldn't it be good either way? Metame as well. So amur lo chachamim said Rabbi Akiva. Im tamei chalav ha'isha shel ratzon. He says, why does chalav ha'isha metame shel ratzon? She dam magafata. Tamei, because the blood from a wound of a human is, we said, Yad Shachat Dam, one of the Dalits is Dam. We've got Dvash and Dam, blood and honey and blood. Right? Where do we learn from? Is dam magafata. Right? Tamei chalav ha-behema shelo le-ratzon shedam ha-kafat tahor. Now what's going on over here? Rashi's for this amud over the amud. Look over the amud. Rashi over here. Why is mother's milk considered matame under all circumstances? He says, because dam she magafata of ish, a woman, a wound from a woman, of a human being, blood. Im nagaf raglao yada, if she wounded her hand or her foot. V'kol chabura she yatzam in the dam, any wound, and blood came out. Now a pair of dam anida, in Masechet Nida there, on daf nun hay. Dam chalalim, it's called dam chalalim. Right, now dam chalalim really means when someone's killed. Right, because he says over here, dahainu dam harug, karui mashke, it's like when you kill a person, the blood that flows is called mashke. Shneimar v'dam chalalim yishteh, that's the pasuk. Dam chalalim, you can drink it. It's called yishteh, they don't drink it. But dam magafato mefarish hatam the dam chalalim, and therefore blood of a wound is also considered dam like if it was killed. Why? Demali katlei kule mali katlei palga. He's saying of the other, Gemara says there, that a wounding someone is like partially killing him. So if wound, if blood, if you kill him, comes out, blood from a wound which is partially killing him, also considered blood, is considered a liquid. V'chalav kedam magafato. And now he says that a woman's milk is like blood. Why? The dam nechar v'nasach chalav. That's where blood milk comes from. It's from blood in the woman. He says Avia. The dam agafata stame shlo ratzon hu metame, and therefore blood as a rule comes out without ratzon, and it is metame. Right. On the other hand, about dam of an animal, that was Chachamim's question. Rabbi Akiva yitama chalav habahem shlo ratzon bitmiya. It's a question. Shrei dam agafata tahor. An animal's blood. If an animal's got a wound and blood comes out of him, he's tahor. That blood is a metame. Is it machshir the behem alav bichlal chalalu? Umihu dam shchita machshir. The shchita of an animal, you shech the animal, there the blood will machshir, right? Mishum de itkish lemayim. There's to an hekish to mayim, because it says ala arif tishbechenu kamayim. The blood from shchita you're going to throw on the floor like water. So how we learned that is good, that isn't good. That was the answer to Chachamim Karen tomorrow, but the answer to Rabbi Akiva here was there's not necessarily this kavah chomer Rabbi Akiva, because there's an objective reason why the milk of a woman is like blood of a woman, and blood of a woman would be metame under all circumstances. Therefore, so is the milk under all circumstances. Where an animal's blood would not be metame under all circumstances, therefore its milk would not be metame under all circumstances. Now, not to forget the question, right? We asked over there, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that stam asur, and we brought this whole thing, we'll count tomorrow and see the proof of how it works out.